Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're turning our attentions to high yield. We'll be asking our global panel of UBS experts how the zero-rate world has reshaped the landscape for investors. We'll find out whether, with about a third of rich world government bonds now offering negative yields, the time is indeed right for investors to be looking to high-yield corporate bonds. We'll mull the pros and cons and consider the most profitable potential areas. All that ahead on today's edition of The Bulletin. We start with Simon Smiles, Chief Investment Officer for UBS's Ultra High Net Worth division. We asked him, should investors now be looking to high-yield corporate bonds?
I mean, you mentioned a third of the global high-grade bond index offers negative yields. It is an extraordinary world we live in. But closer to home in Europe, 75% or so of German bonds also offer negative yields. And likewise, roughly three-quarters of the Japanese government bond market offer negative yields. I mean, again, it is an extraordinary world. And that very low or indeed negative yield world, you know, investors are forced to move up the risk spectrum and to move down the liquidity spectrum to try and generate yields. When you look at the European asset landscape, you know, we think that leaves European high yield in a particularly favourable position. You get roughly 4.5% yield to worst or 4.7% yield to maturity across the broad European high yield index. You have relatively little exposure to energy, unlike the US high yield sector. You're at the start of a credit cycle with default rates below 2%, you know, less than half the rate that we're seeing in the US high yield segment. And we have very supportive European Central Bank policies. Coming up this month, the European Central Bank will start buying non-financial investment grade credit of domestically focused companies, further depressing yields in that space, and again, likely pushing more investors up the risk spectrum and into European high yield.
Next, we asked Carolina Mora-Alves, head of fixed income strategy in the UBS CIO, whether, in her view, the time is right to look to high yield.
The time is always right for investors to consider US high yield in their portfolios or even European high yield, because this is a very interesting asset class in its own right. If you ask me specifically about whether now the time is right in the sense of a more tactical investment horizon, I would say definitely yes in European high yield.
Philip Shuttler, who works in the global asset allocation team of the CIO at UBS Wealth Management, looks mainly at credit strategies. Here's what he has to say.
Well, we definitely think that global high yield bonds are attractive and they do offer attractive yields. As you're well aware, we're talking about 4 to 5% for European high yields, 7 to 8% even for US high yields. So that compares very favorable, of course, to higher rated securities. So it is a great opportunity, but of course it comes with risks. It is not the magic silver bullet, and we wouldn't suggest to shift all your safe bonds into high yield. But having said so, we think high yield bonds should definitely form a larger part of the portfolio than they probably used to in the past. And we also think that those credit risks that are inherent in this asset class are currently very well manageable, and in particular so in the European high yield space.
Now, we've been talking about a portfolio shift to credit markets from government bonds. Douglas Rothstein's head of interest rate strategies for developed markets at UBS Private Wealth Management. He compares and contrasts the two for us.
The yields on government bonds are not particularly attractive right now. And as well, the Fed has entered a tightening cycle. So first with the tapering of and finishing of bond purchases, and now with an actual rate hike last year, and we're waiting for the next rate hike. The market's only pricing about 3 rate hikes over the next 3 years. And we think that's a little light. We think the Fed is likely to do more than that. We're likely to see 2 rate hikes this year and probably 4 for next year. So the market's underpricing Fed rate hikes. So normally, as you go into the hiking cycle, if rate hikes are priced correctly, if the Fed is priced correctly, the bond market's generally okay. But we think that because the market is underpricing hikes, there's not really a lot of value in government bonds. So, you know, U.S. bonds are yielding, in the 10-year bond is yielding about 1.8%, and that's not too bad. But given that the market's underpricing, we don't expect that total returns will be very attractive there. So we're looking for pretty neutral, pretty close to zero total returns on government bonds. And that's one of the reasons that we're interested in credit.
So the main question which our experts' insights have thrown up is, in a zero-rate world, are high-yield bonds worth the additional risk? Carolina Mora-Alves, again.
That is definitely our assessment. So high-yield bonds are bonds issued by companies that have meaningful probability of default, of, in other words, not paying their obligations back, which is why investors demand a high yield for them, hence the name high yield. And in our assessment, as long as market circumstances are such that we feel that the yield we got on the bond more than compensates us for the associated risk of default, then high yield should be a good investment.
Simon Smile stresses that despite the riskier nature, it does make sense given where we are in the cycle.
I mean, it is obviously a riskier asset class, but given where we are in the default rate cycle and the start of a credit cycle, the 4.5% to 4.7% yield you generate in the world of less than 2% defaults, we think is a compelling risk return, particularly vis-a-vis other asset classes. It's in fact our largest position within fixed income in our UBS house view.
Have zero rate returns changed the landscape profoundly in Philip Shuttler's view?
I mean, the biggest risk you have to think about, of course, is the additional credit risk you would take when shifting out of, say, US Treasuries or German Bunds, where you essentially have the payback guaranteed. You're moving into corporates and corporates with a relatively poor credit rating. So there's no guarantee that you will get your money back. On average, though, we're talking about a default rate per year of 4.5%. So that's part of why I say it's manageable. Those bonds pay an interest rate that compensates very well for this risk. And then, of course, one has to dig a bit deeper into the sectors. And if we do so, for example, in the U.S. space, we clearly have to mention the energy sector that has come under big pressure last year from the fall in the oil price that has seen a lot of defaults over the past couple of months. By now, with the recovery in the oil price, but also with a lot of companies now having adjusted actually to this new environment, we think the risks have come down, and we actually think we are beyond the peak of defaults in this U.S. energy space. In Europe, one has to look a lot at the banks. That's an important sector for high yield with their subordinated bonds. And here we must say, actually, we think European banks are in a relatively good shape. If we look at their balance sheets, they have done a lot over the past couple of years. And that's why we think currently, also, of course, against this backdrop of global growth that is still holding up very, very decently, that's why we say credit risks, default risks are manageable in this environment.
Ultimately, is it still all about asset allocation? Douglas Rothstein certainly thinks so.
And here we always look for a balance. For example, even though we don't see great value in government bonds, we still have an allocation to government bonds in portfolios. And the reason is it's impossible to get everything absolutely right. So while we think the environment is good, and actually, you know, we're overweight equities on a six-month view, the reason is that we see continued global growth and rising earnings, and also because of accommodative central bank policy. But there are still things that of course, could go wrong that we can't predict. And in that case, we would like that clients still have some government bonds in their portfolio to offset if risk sells off in the markets. But we've been overweight for some time. So we've had an overweight in high yield for several years now, actually, and it's done very well. We have a smaller overweight in equities. So we do think the environment is right for risk on. And if clients still don't have enough risk in their portfolio, actually, we would recommend adding a bit.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the regions and sectors that might offer the most profitable opportunities in this space. And we'll ask whether worries about liquidity also play on investors' and advisors' minds. So let's turn next to consider which regions offer the most potential in credit terms. Is it about regions, or is it more sector-driven in Simon Smile's view?
With respect to high yield, we actually focus on the European high yield sector as a whole. You know, a diversified approach to high yield credit we think makes a lot of sense, given the inherently higher risk of the individual issuers. So a diversified portfolio across a range of different sectors and country exposures we think is the most sensible thing at the moment for investors to look to deploy capital into. And again, being able to generate a blended yield, you know, of almost 5% with that diversified portfolio is compelling compared with other fixed income alternatives. Comparing European high yield to US high yield, again, very different points in the credit cycle. Default rates ticking up in the US and above 4% now, a big exposure to the energy sector, and hence a risk with respect to US high yield from retracements in the oil price. Those risks are much smaller given the lower exposure to energy in European high yield. You have a very supportive central bank in the form of the ECB, And again, you're right at the start of a credit cycle.
And which regions offer the most potential, according to Philip Shuttler?
If you're looking really for great opportunities and are able to take a lot of risks, U.S. energy is still a sector that is relatively cheaply priced, and you will find some companies that will be able to cope with the current environment. It will give you very, very decent yields of in the double-digit area. If you're more conservative, I still think Europe is rather the place to go. The risks are certainly lower, where you have a central bank that will just this month start to buy actually corporate security with the ECB and its corporate sector purchase program. So here the downside risk, in our view, is much much better protected. So it really depends a bit on your personality as an investor as well.
Another important question to ask in this space is, how important is liquidity? It is true that for many private investors, it's potentially not such a big deal. Philip Shuttler introduces the theme.
Our view basically is that, of course, high yield is not a super liquid asset class, but we think actually it is offering a pretty decent opportunity for private investors. A lot of private investors don't need so high liquidity, actually. And that's why recently we also built a portfolio a bit around this theme of a bit less liquid asset classes, and high yield is one cornerstone of this portfolio. Because as you mentioned in the beginning, in this very low yield environment, we just have to look for alternative sources of risk and return. And we think this illiquidity component is one such source where actually investors who don't need the money on a day-to-day basis can very well profit. Having said that, we think this illiquidity theme is a bit overdone by a lot of observers. We just have recently noted that the turnover actually has returned to pre-crisis levels. So it is not a super liquid asset class, but we think the risks have been a bit overblown by some of the observers recently.
Simon Smiles talks about the three main advantages that private investors have over their professional counterparts.
Many advantages professional investors hold over private investors. However, three advantages that private investors enjoy over their professional counterparts are liquidity, the fact they don't have a benchmark, and the fact that they don't have agency risk. The principals, they can think longer term. They're often used to thinking longer term, given they made their money in business they either inherited or that they grew from scratch. And taking a liquidity in particular, because private investors often have large cash balances, deploying that cash into less liquid assets to a prudent degree allows them to earn the additional premium and yield that comes from giving up the liquidity.
What does Carolina Mora-Alves make of these liquidity questions?
Liquidity in any investment should always be a consideration, in the sense that if you make an investment where you might need to access the capital invested at short notice and that investment is not liquid, you will potentially pay a penalty for such illiquidity. Now, when it comes to private investors, and the reason why often the relative illiquidity of high yield is not such a concern is because they tend to be buy and hold investors. In other words, they will buy a bond today and hold it until it matures. And when that is the case, the issue of whether that bond can be easily traded in the secondary market is less of a concern, and therefore liquidity becomes also less of a concern.
Liquidity is more important for hedge funds and the like than for private investors, explains Doug Rothstein.
For high-yield bonds, they are a bit less liquid, that's true, but I think that's more relevant for hedge funds and other traders. If you have a lot of high-yield bonds, meaning really large quantities, tens of millions or hundreds of millions, and you want to sell it quickly, then that can be expensive. But for a typical client who only needs to get their money back over the course of a day or several days, it's really not a problem at all. And in terms of even less liquid securities, these can be quite interesting as well, because as people know, the regulations, banking regulations have changed, capital requirements have changed, and banks and hedge funds are less in a position to hold these illiquid assets. That means clients get paid better for holding illiquid assets than they have it many times in the past. So for clients who have a longer-term investment horizon, we would recommend they speak to their advisor about seeing what opportunities are available also in less liquid asset classes.
And a last word this week from Carolina Mora-Alves. She's keen to stress that in a low-yield world, investors need to be willing to be creative and to step outside their comfort zone.
In a world of low yield, as you rightly pointed out at the start of our conversation, that investors need to be willing to be more creative and maybe sometimes even step outside their traditional comfort zone. And high yield offers a very interesting alternative to more traditional fixed income investments. and which is why we are actually quite positive on the asset class in general.
That's Carolina Moura-Alves bringing us to the end of this 87th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.